Last month, the museum at Eldridge Street, which is located in a historic synagogue on the Lower East Side, celebrated the installation of a monumental new stained glass window. It was designed by artist Kiki Smith and architect Deborah Gans as part of a 24-year renovation of the landmark building. And I'm very pleased to welcome both of them to our show today to tell us about the project. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
And welcome back, Kiki.
Thank you.
I know that you've worked in glass before, but this is, in fact, I think your last show was largely painting on glass. But is this the first large-scale stained glass window you've created?
It's the first stained glass window I've had the opportunity to create that exists in public.
In other words, rather than something that you did for an exhibit?
Most of the stained glass I've just made of my own volition without having a specific architectural destination. So this is the first opportunity I've had where it's making it for a space.
And is this the first time you've been commissioned to design a work for a building like this?
I've made several sculpture commissions, but not something specific to an architecture.
Deborah, have the two of you collaborated before?
Yes, actually. This commission arrived because I've been working on Kiki's house, which is
That's still a different kind of collaboration. Are you putting stained glass into the windows?
No.
No, we're doing it without windows. It's very special.
But you haven't done anything of this sort before.
I've done another synagogue.
You have?
Yes, yeah.
With a stained glass window?
Well, that the facade are actually these tons of concrete tablets that hang off the front. So,
when you say you've glass. Done another synagogue, are you talking about renovating an old one or designing a new one?
No, renovating a very old one, actually.
Do they present special challenges for an architect?
Special challenges. Yes, I mean, every job is a challenge, but here I think, and it's true about the window as well as just a synagogue in general, that you want to create significance and meaning, but it's iconoclastic.
That's because you can't put figures
That's right.
into an Orthodox
That's right.
synagogue.
That's right.
And is this still functioning as a synagogue, Kiki?
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you have a museum and the synagogue? Are they integrated into each other?
Well, I think they occupy the same space, and obviously it's collaboration between the two constituencies.
Well, the museum is dedicated to the Lower East Side immigrant community and tells its story. When was this built, Deborah?
In the mid-19th century.
Was it the first synagogue built on the Lower East Side?
You know, I don't think it was the first, but it was the first grand synagogue that represented the arrival of the community in terms of its stature and pride as well as its physical presence.
Because there was a grand one on Rivington Street. I'm not sure whether that comes after this. But this is really – these are synagogues for the newly arrived Eastern European Jews?
Yes.
Was there much money in that community?
Yes, I think there was. And I think this was an attempt to not show off, but to establish a kind of presence within the culture.
Mm-hmm. The building dates from 1887, I'm informed. Yeah. When was it declared a landmark?
I have no idea.
We don't know. You know, the executive director.
We don't know about things like that.
Yeah. Bonnie Diamond, the executive director, and Amy Stein-Milford, the associate executive director, know so much about this place, and we're constantly asking them questions, and they are always answering.
Well, as an architect, do you feel that this building has architectural significance?
Yes. You have to understand what we produced was the last piece, and it was very moving to be able to complete the place. But there were the place, the synagogue had been completely and beautifully restored. We produced the thing that was new. WJE Associates and Tim Allenbrook were very much involved with that restoration.
Because the building was in as beautiful as it was in a state of disrepair
as
the congregation drifted away from the neighborhood. That's an area that is kind of a satellite area to Chinatown nowadays.
Yes, and they take great advantage of that. They have events like egg cream and egg roll once a year where they're where they really try to re-engage the community in new ways.
How much time did you spend in the building, Kiki?
I have no idea. We went about a year ago, I would say, and looked at the window and looked at the space. And then subsequent to that, we had meetings of just logistical meetings or talking about our ideas and then the actual installation.
Well, the old stained glass was really three long panels, but you've created one large circular.
Originally, it was a rose window, a circular window, I think about 16 feet in diameter. And they think that that blew out in about 1939 in a hurricane. And there are no records of what was there. So at some point, they put in the tablets, in four tablets, with glass brick, which was a sort of relatively modern material at that time. And it has stayed like that. And I think there was a great concern or belief to many people that it should stay like that. And other people persuaded the congregation and also the museum board or whatever that they should put back in around the circular window.
Did that present architectural problems?
Yes, in a good way. There were so many challenges because it is a very large opening, and we wanted to create something new that still was a reflection and a completion of what was there.
You mentioned that the old window was a rose window, the window that is still remains. The west window, which faces out onto Eldridge Street, is a traditional rose window. So they probably were a matching pair?
Not necessarily. The face to the street would be more prominent because that is the facade, the main facade of the building, and the one to the rear they thought was probably more modest. I mean, not modest in scale, but more modest in declaration.
How large a space are we talking about filling here?
I think it's just 16 feet.
16 feet.
Yeah, the diameter.
Yeah,
16
the diameter.
Feet.
That's pretty big, isn't it?
Yes.
It's okay.
you say okay, like, oh, it's just nothing, Nikki.
Oh, I've made 16 feet stained glass paintings before.
You know, what's interesting is that Kiki's completely correct that actually, the dimension isn't large, but the window looms large within the space. It has a great presence. In fact, the cartoon, the 16-foot drawing, looks smaller than the actual window and where it's located in the space above the bima, the Torah, and on the eastern wall.
But because we don't know what the original window looked like, Kiki, you had carte blanche to come up with whatever you wanted as long as it was iconoclastic?
No, you know, I walked into the synagogue and I walked up to the women's balconies and, as an artist, things just appear apparent to you what should happen. And so I knew immediately in general what seemed should happen, which was what Debbie was saying, was that it's a building that has an enormously rich vocabulary, and it seemed appropriate to use that vocabulary.
Did they give you any direction when you were commissioned to do it? Something traditional or contemporary?
No. They just, I think we're just asking various people what they thought. And, I am not a designer for fulfilling other people's desires. I just said, this is what I'm interested in doing. And then, that was just a beginning impetus. And then Deborah and I developed it, and worked together to, so that it could manifest its fruition. But I think just, as an artist or architect, you just have a vision of what you would like, and whether people want that vision is their business.
Well, since it's a landmark building, aren't there certain constraints?
We got permission and the blessing of the Landmarks Commission to do something new. I think everybody understood this was to be a living monument, and that therefore to complete it with something, again, that has a continuity with what's there but projects a future or possible futures through its appearance, its technologies, was something that Landmarks embraced.
I'm talking with Deborah Gantz, architect, and artist Kiki Smith about the new stained glass window that has just been installed in the museum at Eldridge Street in the Lower East Side. There is a really interesting slideshow that we have on our website at WNYC.org that will give people a sense of not only what the window looks like, but what the restored synagogue looks like in this, I guess, neo-Moorish style. It's kind of weird that it's an Ashkenazic synagogue, yeah, but it's done in a style that we might associate more with Sephardic Jews.
That's true. And again, you know, we're not as expert in all of this as the executive director and the architects who restored it. But there's some neo-Gothic in there, too. It's not pure anything.
So it's kind of European and Northern African at the same time, or
but
Spanish.
People try to distinguish architecturally themselves from Christian iconography in a synagogue. So people used other architectural languages in building synagogues.
Well, how did you go about creating the new design? You said that you looked at it and you felt...
And I knew what to do for me. You know, just for my vision, I knew what to do, which was just to extend the wall. And many of the ceilings are covered with five-pointed stars. And it seemed apparent to me to have these continue up into the window and then put the Star of David in the center. You know, and that, so that was a beginning, you know, and then Deborah and I designed, you know, the rest of sort of how it functioned physically. And
also, you know, the frame is quite important to the design because it's not just a field. It has spiraling arms. And this is from the dome. This also has a relationship to the domes in the ceiling. It's really as if you took one of the domes and rotated it 90 degrees.
I was interested in all those five-pointed stars. The six-point star, the Star of David, is the one that's associated with Judaism. But there are five-pointed stars all over the wall, aren't there? It's kind of a suggestion of a celestial sky.
I think it's a suggestion of a celestial sky, but I also think from the federal time on in the United States, people have used the five-pointed star decoratively. And to me, it was this idea that, or in my fantasy life, that East European Orthodox Jews are coming to America and they're making a statement that they retain their own identity and belief system and that they are also Americans and that they embrace the American landscape and language of that landscape.
And the five-pointed star, of course, is prominent on our flag.
Yes.
Would I be right in assuming, Deborah, that as the architect, you looked at the practical side of how to execute the design as well as its integration into the existing architecture?
I think it's slightly technically virtuosic from the point of view of the frame and the glass. And Kiki also knows a lot about glass technology, but yes. But we used it not in order for its fireworks, but for the effect it could produce, because we wanted to make a field, just the way the wall is a field of stars. And traditional stained glass technology would require a lot of lead.
Which a lot of weight? Is that a
concern? No, actually the window's pretty heavy. It's like 4,000 pounds. But the lead would break up the field with little black lines everywhere.
Isn't that what stained glass usually looks like?
Well, that's traditional technology.
So you didn't put lead in this?
There's no lead. So where there would be a line of lead, there is now a line of light. there's a crack because the pieces of traditional stained glass are siliconed onto, there are two layers of them, and they're both siliconed onto large plate glass such that it is the plate that is supporting the stained glass, and you don't have the lead anymore.
This would have been impossible in earlier times. I doubt that people who were working on Notre Dame would have even known that there was such a thing as silicon.
Well, obviously not. But the thing is that it's the first large window in the United States to be made using this technology. Tom Garcia, who did the actual fabrication of the glass, went to Germany to learn the technology and or the method of making this form, and then, you know, came back and did it. So it is a new way, you know, relatively like new way of producing windows.
But are people doing this in Europe?
Yes.
But this was constructed here?
Yes, in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. Well, of course. I live in Brooklyn, that's why
but,
I say that.
But also Deborah didn't only just design functionally. You know, she designed, like she designed the star, the central star, that it's dimensional. And, you know, it's really, it's an artistic collaboration from both sides, not just an architect being functional to an artist's, you know, whims or design.
I wonder if that's the way it worked in when the great Gothic cathedrals were built in Europe.
Well, I think a window is this wonderful event that is halfway between architecture and art. So it lends itself to this kind of collaboration. And I think that, yes, the cathedrals were similar.
It's made up of six very large pieces?
Yes.
And then they're kind of silicone together?
No, they're held in a frame.
But would the coloring, the staining of the glass part, not the lead part, be in the traditional way of doing things?
Yes. Well, it's traditional, one version of traditional glass, which is that you have a flash glass, which you have a color lying on the surface of a clear glass, and sometimes a third, a second color, and you blast away or acid etch away the color, and then we use silver stain, which is what the name stained glass comes from, which makes a kind of, you know, golden to pea yellow color. And so to me, that was, I like to use the oldest form of stained glass, of making color on glass, with this new technology.
Does the fact that the Star of David in the center is hollow make it structurally tricky?
No. If you think of it as a dome on its side, right? In which case, those spiral metal pieces are in a certain sense like the ribs of a dome, and the center is the oculus. Right. And the way a dome works is the ribs go to a circle at the center, and that's what holds the dome in place. So you really needed something at the center to receive the ribs. And so there's a way in which the shape of it and the logic of it really work together. And I really enjoy the depth of the frame, which needs to be controlled so that the glass doesn't recede. But we can use that depth to create almost like an oculus, so that the center of the window, there's a whoosh of space that kind of pushes out beyond the building into the light. And so we've used that. I use that to effect.
Since it's very heavy, I'm assuming that the insulation was difficult at times.
And we had very professional riggers, and they did it in
a put
day.
A crane in?
Yeah, they lifted it with the crane. It was difficult, but they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think.
And what has been the response of the congregation?
I think the congregation was pleased with the installation. You know, for me, that was a very big concern, that the people that are actually worshiping in the synagogue should find a relationship to it and not find that it disrupts their meditation or whatever.
are people who are who have no connection to the congregation still invited to come in and see it?
It's a museum. Yes.
It's a museum as well.
Yes, yes, I'm sure they'd love everyone.
They would love
to come
you to come
and see it.
And meanwhile, we have photos of the installation as well as the finished window in a slideshow at WNYC.org on our show page, the Low Page Show page at WNYC.org. Does this mean that the building is completed now?
Yes.
We're not going to see any more changes?
You know, they had a wonderful celebratory event when the window was installed. And supposedly it was about the window, but what I hadn't realized that the really meaningful thing about that party was a celebration of a kind of reconsecration of a place because it was now done.
24 years and a lot of money donated to have this thing fixed up. I'm not asking how much you people got.
We have no idea.
I have no idea. But it was also by the efforts primarily of women devoting the last 20-something years to raise funds to support this building.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us, Kiki Smith and Deborah Cans. We've been talking about the completion of the 24-year renovation of the museum at Eldridge Street with the installation of their stained glass window.
Thank you.